Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
What am I thinking? You see, you've got no idea what I'm thinking until I speak. When I speak, you know what I'm thinking. Now, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. How can we know what God thinks about himself, about us, about the world, about his purpose, about his church? We can only know what God thinks by listening to what he says or what he has said. This book that we call the Bible tells us the thoughts of God, how he thinks, what he wants. But it's not simply a book of words about the will of God. It's a book filled with the power of God. Because his power, his spirit, his life is in his words. How did all creation come into being? Well, God thought first that he would create. And it's clear from the scriptures, he planned all that was going to happen during the course of that creation, but nothing happened until he spoke. Right. So, the creative power of God, the Spirit of God, the life of God is in his words. Now, every one of us has been called to be either a man or a woman of God. That's a high calling. But then God doesn't have a low calling for any of his children. What does it mean to be a man or woman of God? It means essentially two things. You're a man or woman of the Word, and you're a man or woman of the Spirit. And what we discover in our lives is that the Word and the Spirit always work together. Jesus, when he was promising the Spirit to the disciples, said that the Spirit would remind them of all that Jesus had said. So when you're listening to the Spirit, you're going to be listening to the Word of God, not just some strange thoughts, certainly nothing that will ever contradict what God has said. He is not divided against himself. The Spirit is not against the Word. Now, the opening of John's Gospel, we all know very well. Jesus is the Word. He existed in the beginning before time began. This Word was with God, and indeed the Word was God. He was the Word of God that God spoke in the beginning. By this spoken word through Jesus, everything was created. Nothing could exist if it were not for him. In Jesus, in this word, was the life that brought God's light into people's lives. So his word is not only spirit and life, it is light. And in fact, light is the creative force in the universe. Let there be light. And the whole of creation came into being. Now, Jesus is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He was the Word of God when creation came into being. The Word became flesh and lived amongst us. Why? So that we could know the thoughts of God. We could know the purposes of God. And that he would make it possible by the salvation that he won for us to actually be able to live according to his word. You remember in the Old Testament, he'd given the law to his people Israel, but they constantly failed to keep that word. But then under the new covenant, God promised, I'm going to write my word in their minds and on their hearts. That's the difference between the new and the old. That the old had the word of God written on tablets of stone through a mediator. But now God says directly by his Spirit, I'm going to write my word. Not vague thoughts, not your ideas and concepts of God, but the word of God. So Jesus was the word that was made flesh, and he is always the word. If you look at the book of Revelation, eternally as the Lord of glory, he is known in heaven as the Word of God. And God says in the book of Psalms that he has chosen to exalt his name and his word above all things. So we are not liberal thinkers that believe our own thoughts about God. We are a people of faith, men and women of God who believe the Word of God. Right. Now, let me just tell you or remind you of a parable that you know very well. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the path where it was trodden upon and where the birds came and ate it. Some seed fell on rocky soil. It began to grow up, but soon withered because it only had shallow roots. Some seed fell among thorns, which continued to grow and choke the plants that developed from the seed. But some of the seed fell on good soil, and this grew and produced a good crop, 100 times as much as was sown. Luke, in his version, doesn't mention the 30 and 60 fold. The word, Jesus says, is this seed. Now, there are 4 different things that happen to this word. It can be rejected. The interesting thing about the word that is sown on the path is it's sown actually into the heart. Even those who haven't responded to the gospel, God has spoken to their hearts. He hasn't just spoken to their intelligence, he's spoken to their hearts. But they have rejected that word. So the birds of the air representing Satan, says Jesus, comes and steals the word from them. But then there is the word that is received and accepted. It seems that somebody has made a good response to the gospel, but there's no depth of roots into the word of God in their life. So as soon as there's pressure, so soon as there's opposition, so as soon as there are difficulties, what began to develop withers. Then there's the seed, which is deeply rooted, but so are other things deeply rooted in that believer's life. Things that are opposed to the Word of God. And so those things choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But then there's the 100-fold fruit. And when Jesus explains this to the disciples, he says, those that bear the 100-fold fruit are those who hold fast to the word of God with an honest and good heart. Now, why has God sown his word into our hearts? Why does he put his word into our minds? Why, in other words, by the Spirit, does he bring us revelation of his word? Not so that the devil can snatch it away, obviously. Not so that we can believe other things and not have the word deeply rooted in us, so that when there's pressure, we can't cope. Not because he wants other things that are against his will and purpose to choke the word. If we're going to be men and women of the word, we've got to uproot or not allow to be rooted in our hearts and lives anything that contradicts God's word. But God wants that word to be deeply rooted, our lives to be deeply rooted in the word. Not allow anything that is contradictory to the word to be accepted and received into our hearts and minds, so that we will bear a hundredfold fruit. Forget the 30 and 60-fold. Kingdom faith goes for a hundredfold.
Amen.
Amen. We aim for the highest. We want God's best in our lives.
Amen.
Are you there?
Yes.
Now, what does this mean in practice? Life is full of choices. To be a man or woman of the word means that every day and all day long you are making choices. You either believe what God thinks or you believe what you think. Until your thoughts are in line with his thoughts, there's always a choice to make. Now, we can only be people of faith if we're people of the word. You can't be a person of faith if you're believing your own thoughts, because that means your faith is in your thoughts, your ideas, your concepts of God. I know people, they're very nice people, lovely people as people, but they're not believers, they're not born again, they don't have an eternal destiny in Christ, because they say, I have my own ideas about God. Which is sad, because your own ideas about God can't save you. Only the truth can save you. And only the truth can enable you to live in the freedom that salvation gives you. Jesus said, those who continue in my word will be my disciples. They will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So there are four ways in which you have to hang on, hold on, as Jesus puts it, to the word of God with an honest and good heart. I'm going to tell you those four ways. Being members of Kingdom Faith, you know them, so I'm just reminding you of what you know. The first I've already mentioned. You believe God's word over your own thoughts, your own ideas. Now, let me tell you the bottom line. Shall I tell you whether you are doing that or not? If you are doing that, you care not a fig for your own opinions. You realize that your own opinions are utter, contemptible rubbish. That your opinions will die with you, and good riddance to them. And you see, the problem is that there are so many, even among Christians, there are so many opinionated people that want to try to impress others with their opinions. We are men and women of the word. We are men and women of faith. We're men and women of God. We want to impress people with God, with the truth, with the word, not with our opinions. They're rubbish. I can remember many years ago, produced what was called the Kingdom Faith Teaching Course. And we were sending this out to on cassettes in those days, to 6,000 groups every month. There was one message and worksheets for each group, a number of worksheets, of course, according to the number of people in the group, were sent out every week. So that's 6,000 groups. I don't know how many thousands of people. But at the bottom of every worksheet, the same thing was written. It is not our opinions that matter, but only the word of God. Because his words are life. There's no life in your opinions. Unless what you think lines up completely with what God says in his word. So you have the choice all day long. Am I going to believe what God says, or am I going to believe what I think? And so that means we've got to check out our thinking, haven't we? Against the Word of God. Are my thoughts about this in line with God's Word? It's no use saying, well, the Spirit said to me, because if the Spirit did say to you, what He said is entirely, completely, 100% in line with God's Word. In fact, it probably will be God's Word. About 95% of all the truly prophetic words that we receive from God are simply reminding us of Scripture. He reminds us, as Jesus promised, He reminds us of what Jesus has said and of what He has done. So it's good, isn't it, not to be a people of pride that think our opinions matter. All that matters is God's Word, and we are seeking to bring our thinking in line with God's Word. The second way, of course, in which we have to hold fast to the Word of God is against our feelings. We've got the choice all day, every day. Am I going to believe what God says, or am I going to believe how I feel? Now, of course, your feelings are really the result of the way you think. Your emotions are actually controlled by your thinking. There's not time to go into all that and explain it. Just accept that it's true. Now, often your feelings will not be what they should be. They will not always be positive. They will not always be full of faith. They will not always be focused on God's plan and purpose, unless, of course, you are already walking in perfection. In which case, I'll come and sit down and you can come and take over. But you see, we have to make the choice, do I believe what God says, or do I believe my feelings at this particular moment, in this particular situation? My feelings will change and can change very quickly and frequently, but God's Word endures forever. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will not pass away. So if I'm a man of the Word, then I'm someone who believes God's thinking, not my opinions, but I also believe what He says over and above my feelings. And so, however I feel, in whatever situation I'm placed, I will subject those feelings, test them, if you like, against the Word of God. And if they're not right, I will repent, Lord, I'm sorry that I feel like this. Please forgive me. And Holy Spirit, just remind me of the Word. So, you see, then my feelings will begin to line up with what God says, and I will feel about the situation what He feels. Are we getting this? But you see, it's no use knowing that's what we have to do if we don't do it. All day long, we are walking in the Word, we're living in the Word, so we're believing His thoughts, not our opinions. We're believing what He says. Our trust is not in our feelings. Your feelings are just about the most unreliable part of you because they change so readily. Because they can be changed. As soon as somebody else says something to you, your feelings, you can react in such a negative way if you're not careful. I mean, I know as a member of Kingdom of Faith, you would never act in a negative way. But we're living in a world where many people do, so you've got to learn to help them. The third way, of course, is we have to believe God's Word over and above the circumstances. You see, you believe what you speak about. So, constantly, we can be faced with challenges, perhaps affliction of some kind, perhaps persecution, perhaps sickness. All kinds of things can attack us. Now, do we believe the circumstances? Or do we believe what God says about the circumstances? You see, whatever we believe, we will speak. If we speak about the circumstances, it's because we believe the circumstances. If we speak about what God says, then it shows that we believe what God can do to change the circumstances. That's what it means to be a people of the Word. So we have to stand against our own thinking, our own natural thinking, soulish thinking. Even your good soulish thinking is nothing like the thinking of the Spirit. We have to stand against the feelings that are contradictory to the Word, so we want to bring the whole of our soul life, our minds, our emotions, and therefore our wills under the Word of God. See, if we submit our minds and our feelings to the Word, then we will make the right decisions in the circumstances. Do we have any believers here this morning? Okay. The fourth way, of course, in which we have to stand against things that contradict the Word is we stand against the enemy. Now, what do we have as our weapons against the enemy? Well, Paul says we have the shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Every negative thing that is not the Word of God can be overcome with your shield of faith. And then we have the Word of God, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God to lop off the heads of the demons. A double-edged sword. Every deceptive, deceiving, ungodly, every word, every thought, everything that opposes God's Word, we have the victory over with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. But, of course, as with any weapons, you don't keep your shield and your sword in the cupboard. Because then you will be vulnerable to whatever the enemy wants to do in your life. No, you have to keep your shield in place and the sword of the Spirit ready. So that as soon as some negative is fired at you, bang! Yes. Christians cannot be, or at least faithful Christians, cannot be negative people. We're a people of hope, according to the Word of God. And if we're a people of hope, we're a people that are always positive in every situation. If God is working for our good in all things, then we can be positive in every situation, no matter how challenging it is. Hallelujah. So as men and women of the Word, we discover the power of God that is in the Word, that is so much greater than our own thinking. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The highest way that you can think is by what God has revealed in His Word. And we stand against the feelings that contradict the Word. We see the Word giving us the victory in the circumstances. It's faith in the Word that gives you the victory. You see, the prayer is only effective if the prayer is a prayer of faith, because you're believing what God says. And we overcome the enemy with that shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. Okay, now, how do we become men and women of the Word like that? I'm a man of the Word. I think you know that. I wouldn't have translated the New Testament if that was not the case. But, of course, being a preacher of the Word for nearly 50 years now makes you a believer. And all that I have seen God do is the result of that. Now, let me tell you, quite frankly, there are no shortcuts. What you don't see is No, I haven't seen the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours over those years where I've read the Word, prayed through the Word, listened to what God is saying to me through the Word. But not just that. I would have stashed away somewhere or other dozens and dozens of exercise books and other things where I've just written out scriptures. This book, The 150 Major Themes, you see, is absolutely indispensable for you as a believer. Because how do you know that your thinking lines up with God about these 150 topics? See, it's only by learning what is in the Word. And for years and years and years, I would write out scriptures about whatever God was speaking to me about. See, this was in the days before computer. You can cheat with computers. Just do a word search and nothing is going to happen in your spirit as a result. But I would find reading the words, writing out these words, I still do it. I mean, I had to write out all these in producing this. But, I mean, that's what I've been doing for years and years and years, because the more you write the word, it's not just reading, but you write it. While you're writing it, you're thinking. God is speaking to you. You're building up not just your knowledge of the Word, but your understanding, not only of the Word, but of God Himself. This is the way He thinks. This is the way He acts. These are the motives with which He acts. I've had a wonderful, wonderful week, because this week I've been going through the scriptures here about God's glory. And I mean, I've encountered God more in His glory. That's not bad. But I have now a greater understanding of His glory, even than when I wrote this, because I've spent more time just abiding with Him in His glory. Not trying to experience, oh God, I want to experience Your glory. No, no, no. That's the quickest way to deception.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The angel of light can come and right. deceive you in all kinds of ways. No, no. You start with the Word. Amen. And the Spirit together takes the Word and declares it to you. Right. And then imparts to you the Spirit and the life that is in the Word. Right. And the Word comes to life. And the life that is in the Word comes to life. And the glory and the truth that is in the Word comes to life in a new way in your heart. It's the only way to become a man or woman of the Word. It's to spend time not with the book, but realizing, wait a minute, Jesus is the Word. If I'm spending time with His Word, I'm spending time with Him. If I'm listening to what He says through the Word, I know I am listening to Him and not to some other.
Amen.
Some other spirit. I know that I'm not being deceived. Today, there is so much deception around. And sadly, I even hear sometimes of people that have belonged to Kingdom Faith becoming deceived. But that only happens when they begin to believe their own thinking and not what God says. You see, just because you believe His Word today doesn't mean you'll believe it tomorrow, unless tomorrow you believe it. Unless tomorrow you make the right choices. Unless tomorrow you still resist your own way of thinking and your feelings and you don't just believe the circumstances and you don't listen to what some other spirit is saying, either when you pray or through other people. You see, as a believer, you won't listen to gossip, because gossip never comes from the Spirit of God. It comes from some other spirit. So you will never believe what anybody tells you about anybody else unless you're ready to check it up with what, to find out whether it's true or not. Why? Because the Spirit of God doesn't go speaking about others to others. Hello? The Holy Spirit never indulges in gossip. He's the Spirit of truth who guides us into all the truth. When we're men and women of the Word, can you understand that we'll be men and women of victory? God always leads us in His triumphant procession in Christ. Listen, triumphalism isn't something trite.
That's right.
It has to be a reality, because we know how to fight the good fight of faith, holding fast to the Word of God with an honest and good heart, no matter what our other opinions might have been, no matter how we feel, no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what the opposition says. We fight the good fight of faith because we hold fast to the Word of God with an honest and good heart.
Amen.
Now, what are we at Kingdom Faith? We're a family that does that. And that means that you're surrounded by others who are doing it. Means that you're surrounded by others who will encourage you while you do it. You know, often people come to me and say, Pastor Colin, what do you think about so-and-so and so-and-so? Or what are your opinions about so-and-so and so-and-so? And I say to them, my thoughts about this are totally irrelevant. My opinions, if I had any, wouldn't matter. What does God say about this in His Word? And you see, that's it. We all need to learn to go to the Word.
Yes.
I mean, we're living in it every day. If you're going to be a man and woman of the Word, you don't just read your favorite passages when you feel like it, but you are reading the Word every day,
Amen.
Consistently. It's good, I find, to go through, sometimes I go through topics like that. Sometimes I go through a book, an epistle, or one of the Gospels, in which case for several days or even weeks, I'm listening to what God is saying consistently through that. So over a period of time, you are really understanding the whole counsel of God. Remember, Paul said that he preached the whole counsel of God. The great thing about having to translate the New Testament was I had to translate all of it, including the bits I don't understand. Because I don't understand all the book of Revelation, and I've never met anybody who does. I've met a few deceived people who think they know. But I've never met anybody that really understands everything in Revelation. And I believe God did that deliberately, just to remind us that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and you're never going to understand everything until it happens. You know, Jesus said some mighty things to the disciples at the Last Supper. They wouldn't have had a clue what He meant at the time. But they came to understand after the cross, after the resurrection, after they received the Spirit. Then it would all have come to life. But being grief-stricken, you know, when people are grief-stricken, they can't hear anything. They were grief-stricken at that time. But John, of course, he remembered, and John wrote down all these wonderful things for us. so that we can be edified by them. But it's just the same, you know. You're not going to understand all the purposes of God, because not only are His thoughts higher than your thoughts, but His ways are greater than your ways. And how many times have you been in a situation and said, "Oh Lord, why? You can't understand what is happening. And then later you think, "Ah, now I understand." Yeah, God knew exactly what He was doing. How strange. And the one who created the universe should know exactly what He is doing. The one who called you and chose you knows exactly what He is doing. The one who knows your thoughts from afar. See, you didn't know what I was thinking when I start, just like I don't know what you're thinking. They better be good thoughts about me, otherwise you're in trouble with the boss. But I don't know what you're thinking. You might be thinking, "My opinions matter," in which case you're guilty of pride and I forgive you in the name of Jesus. But you see, we can react to truths that we don't like, because they don't fit in with our preconceived ideas. There's many students here. The students would tell you, especially in the second year when we get into the counseling program, is how we ourselves, but then when we're seeking to help others, how we have to help others to think as God thinks. You know, when people come for help, it's what you've got to do is to get them to see the answer for themselves.
That's right.
Not tell them the answer, get them to see the answer for themselves. You're there to ask the right questions, so then they will come up with the right answers. And what you're doing is you're reminding them all the time, "Well, what does Jesus say about this? What does the Word say about this?" And then you see, the Spirit will take the Word and it will become revelation to them. You know, when people come for counseling, if the counselor is doing all the talking, the counseling isn't happening. But if the counselor is asking the right words, the right questions, then he will help the person to see the right answers. And when people see for themselves, then that truth will impact their lives. You tell them, probably it'll be just pass over their heads, water off a duck's back. But when people see the truth for themselves, and that's why, you see, nobody can understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit. Because what the Holy Spirit does is to bring us revelation of the truth. You know how when you're reading the Word, suddenly, whoom. You see, the other day I was reading and a new verse came into my New Testament. Now, it must have been there before because I'd translated it, because it was in the truth version that I was reading it. It was 1 Peter 5, verse 10. I thought, this is an amazing verse. It just says so much in one verse. Wow! Why haven't I seen this before? How many times have I read it? And I even translated it. But this is the genius of the Holy Spirit. He takes that word and declares it to us. And that, those are the words that you need to take particular notice of at that particular time. Really, for me to explain what it is to be people of the Word, the family of faith, I'd need to speak from now until Christmas, because there's so much that one could say. But just be encouraged by this. You believe in this book what God says about Himself, yes? Then you need to believe also what it says about you. Because it's the same book, written by the same God. inspired by the same Spirit. You see, if this book says you are holy, what are you? And there's no argument. Doesn't mean you always walk in holiness, but it does mean you are His holy child. If this book says you're a saint, what are you? If this book says you're living in Christ, what are you doing? If this book says Christ is living in you, who is living in you? If this book says that these are the words of truth, what are these words? If this book says you have authority over all the power of the evil one, what kind of authority do you have? You see, it's not knowing it that matters, is it? I mean, you've got to know it first, but then you've got to do it. So we're not hearers only, but doers of the word. And that is what makes you a man or woman of the word. Not that you simply study it, although you need to do that. Not that you simply know it, although you need to know it. But you live by the word. And that we, as a church, live by the word. That if it's not of the word, it shouldn't be happening. If it doesn't fulfill the promises of God's word, it is not of Him. But if what we're doing, both individually in our lives and corporately in the church, is to express the truth of what God has done and said in the power of the Spirit, then we are really moving in the purposes of God. One last thing. In this church, we preach the word, we teach the word, because we in the leadership live by the word. That's what we're seeking to do all the time, seeking to live the word in the power of the Spirit. Sometimes you won't like what we say. Sometimes you may even be offended by the truth. Sometimes you might blame the leadership for simply being true to what God is saying. And this is the point, you see. The truth hurts at times. When the truth comes up against something in us that we don't want to yield to God, or some issue that we don't want to face, or something that is going to stretch us in our obedience to God. We don't always like it. We feel challenged. We may want to run away rather than face up to what God is saying. And sadly, sometimes people do. Rather than move in a way that would bring their lives further into God's order, they choose to retreat. They're not actually retreating from us or from Kingdom Faith, but from the truth that is challenging them at that time. Now, we all need to understand that. And we all need to understand that at any moment in a family such as this, there are people going through such challenges. I want you to receive this with the love with which I'm speaking it. Never say anything to a fellow believer that could be construed by them as judgment or even just criticism of what they're doing or of what is happening in their lives. Do you understand that you can say to someone, well, I'll pray for you, and just in saying that, perhaps with the wrong tone, can be like a knife into a person's heart when they're struggling with issues. You see, what the Word of God says is that we're to encourage one another. We're to build one another up. And when some are being challenged, we need to be sensitive to the challenge that they're going through. Yes, we need to be praying for them, but you don't have to tell them that in such a way as to make them feel, is that what they think of me? I'm in such a mess, I need to be prayed for. Now, you can say that's a totally unjustified reaction, but haven't you ever reacted like that? And you see, when people are under pressure, they often react in the wrong way. Love and faith go together in Scripture. To be a man or woman of God, you're a man or woman of the Word, which means you're a man or woman of faith, but you're a man or woman of the Spirit, which means you're a man or woman of love. And so the Scripture says that you speak the Word to others with love, always with love, not in an accusing way, not in a judgmental way, not in a way that is going to be unhelpful to them in what they are working through. But we need that sensitivity of the Spirit. We need that compassion of the Spirit. So that always we speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth is not speaking what you feel about that person or their situation. It's speaking the Word in love. It's speaking according to the Word. It's relating according to the Word. That if we love Him, we will love our brother also. Amen. So let's pray that we will be bold and courageous in our faith, that we will never hold back in situations from speaking the Word that we need to speak. We will speak to mountains and see them moved. We will speak with the authority with which God speaks, gives us to speak. But when we're dealing with one another, we will always speak in love and never in criticism and never in judgment. Let's all stand, shall we? I want you just to close your eyes and thank God for His Word. If it wasn't for His Word, you wouldn't know anything about salvation. If it wasn't for His Word, you wouldn't have new life. If it wasn't for the fact that the Word existed, you wouldn't exist. Because the Word brought all creation into being. If it wasn't for the fact that the Word came and lived amongst us, you couldn't know God. If it wasn't for the fact that the Word gave His life for us on the cross, you couldn't have redemption. You couldn't have eternal life. You couldn't belong to God's kingdom. If it wasn't for the fact that we have the Spirit who guides us into all the truth and reminds us of everything that God has said and done, then we couldn't live in the victory that God wants us to live in. So let's thank the Lord for His Word. Thank Him for His Word. We praise You for Your Word. Now thank Him that He's called us to be men and women of God. And therefore, men and women of the Word, just thank Him. Lord, thank You. You've called me to be a man of the Word or a woman of the Word, whichever is appropriate for You. Just thank Him. Thank You, Lord. That's what I want to be. That's my aim. Because if I'm a man of the Word, I'm a man of truth. If I'm a woman of the Word, I'm a woman of truth. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now, if you feel that you've been neglecting the Word, you haven't feeding the Word, you haven't really been filling your life with the Word so that, you know, all your own opinions and your own ideas get in and your own feelings and all the rest, then just ask God to forgive you right now. And say, Lord, I want a new agenda in my life now where I'm paying due honor to Your Word. Because I know that if I honor You, I have to honor Your Word. And if I don't honor Your Word, I don't honor You. And I want to honor Your Word. I want to feed on Your Word. Thank You that Your Word is the bread that came down from heaven. Thank You that Your Word is the bread of life. Thank You that You taught me to pray, Lord, give me today my daily bread. I need the daily Word, the daily Word, the daily Word. I need Your Word every day of my life. I need Your Spirit to remind me of Your Word every day of my life. Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to live in the Word. I want to abide in Christ, who is the Word. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that Christ is living in me. The Word is living in me. And I give You all the glory. Thank You, Lord, that I belong to the new covenant. Thank You that You have put Your Word into my mind, that You've sown it into my heart, that it's no longer on tablets of stone. It's not even locked up in a book. But thank You, Lord, that You take that Word and You declare it to me by Your Spirit. And I give You all the glory. I give You all the honor. I give You all the praise. I bless You, Lord. I praise You, Jesus. Now, thank You, Lord, that You've called me to believe Your Word over and above my own thinking. So, Lord, today I submit my thinking to Your thinking, my thoughts to Your thoughts. I acknowledge that Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts, that Your thoughts are always right, they're always correct. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word never changes. Lord, I choose to submit my emotions to Your Word. I thank You that as my thinking is lines up with Your thinking, so my feelings will line up with how You feel about things, how You feel about me, how You feel about the circumstances in which I'm placed. And I thank You, Lord, that I can reject all those negative feelings that are totally inconsistent with the truth of Your Word. I'm not going to be deceived by negative thinking. I am not going to be deceived by negative feelings. In the name of Jesus, I just take the shield of faith against all that stuff. And I thank You, Lord, that my circumstances don't rule me. My circumstances don't lead me. My circumstances don't tell me the truth. But You tell me the truth about my circumstances. And I thank You that as I believe Your truth, so the circumstances will change and will come into line with Your truth. And I give You all the glory. I give You all the honor. I give You all the praise. Thank You, Jesus. Now, thank You, Lord, that You've given me the shield of faith. Thank You that You've given me the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Thank You that You've given me authority over all the power of the evil one. Thank You I can take that shield of faith against every negative arrow that is fired at me, every unbelieving thought, every ungodly thought, every impure thought, everything that is not of You, Lord. Thank You that that shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the evil one. Every single one of them. Thank You, Lord, that that double-edged sword, that sword of the Spirit, is greater than anything that can come against me and will give me the victory. I can just kill off anything that is not the truth in my life. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You that that sword is a killing weapon. It's a weapon to put to death anything and everything that opposes Your truth. And I give You all the glory, Lord. Thank You, I'm a man of the Word, a woman of the Word, a man of God, a woman of God. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Bless You. Now, thank You, Lord, that You want that Word to live in me. You want that Word to be spoken through me. Thank You that I give revelation of the truth wherever I go, people at work, to my neighbors, whoever. Thank You, Lord, I can be Your mouthpiece. Thank You that rivers of Your truth can flow out from deep within me. Thank you, Lord, that I store up your word in my heart. Oh, yes, sukarabatarama. Thank you that the Spirit can bring that word out, and that word can produce life and can produce power and the release of your Spirit wherever I speak that truth. But Lord, I pray that I will always speak that truth in love, that I'll never speak it out of a sense of self-righteousness, never speak it out of a sense of pride or arrogance or a feeling that I know everything or I'm better than those to whom I speak to. But I always want to speak your word in love. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray also for your grace, that your Spirit will always give me the right word to speak in every situation, that I will be sensitive to the voice of your Spirit and able to bring forth that which is the word that others need to hear. Not necessarily the word I want to speak, but the word they need to hear. Lord, just give me the grace to be able to do that. Thank you, Lord, that my tongue can speak forth healing. And deliverance and freedom for people when I speak your word. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would so anoint me to speak those words under the anointing of your power that will have powerful effect on others. And I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. Lord, I want to encourage others with your word, like you tell me to in your word. I want to see others built up in your word. Thank you that you say that I will come to a full understanding of every good thing I have in Christ as I share the gospel with others, as I speak the truth in love. Now, Lord, we thank you for this body. We thank you for Kingdom Faith. We thank you, Lord, that we're not perfect yet, but at least we are a people of the Word. We're a people of faith. We're a people who want to see the word outworked in the life of the whole church and of the whole of Kingdom Faith. We want to see it worked out with faith in love. And Lord, we know that when your word is believed and spoken in love, your power is released. So Lord, we want to see more and more of the evidence of that power, of the fruit, the hundredfold fruit, Lord, because we are holding fast to what you say, to the word of God with an honest and good heart. We're holding fast to your word, not our thoughts, not our opinions, not our feelings, not our circumstances, not what the enemy says, but we're holding fast to your word with an honest and good heart. And finally, Lord, we just pray right now that as we believe all that your word says about you, so every one of us in this room will believe all that this word says about us, about our position in Christ, about the inheritance that you have prepared for us to walk in, about all that you have prepared for us to do, those good works that you want to perform through us. Amen. Oh Lord, we thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your words will never pass away. Thank you, Lord, that when some left you and followed you no more, and you turned to your disciples and said, you don't want to go too, do you? Their response was, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.